Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 125, part 1, To Know and Not to Know. Today is Friday, December 11th, 2009. Happy Hanukkah! Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, as you know, is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why do I say that? No boundaries. Even though we're located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue, located at 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. And if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us. Write this down, 612-521-4665. Call between 1 and 3 p.m., Monday through Friday, and register your household for monthly groceries. Don't be shy. We have lots of food and a lot to give away. So call us again, 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. Register your household for monthly groceries. And by the way, Pastor Paul is the person you will be seeing who will be giving you lots and lots of food to take home. So be sure to come down. And if you don't need groceries, we can always use your help. Call us up. Go online. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations, or you can volunteer your time. So give us a call. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at the blog. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. When you go to the blog, you're going to find interactive links that I leave to scriptures within Pastor Paul's message, so you can follow up when you're finished listening to the message. You don't want to try to scramble through your Bible while you're listening to his message. You may miss something, and he speaks fast. Can I say this? Pastor Paul's messages are the best. And if you are one of those who are listening and you're getting a lot out of his messages, you need to tell other people about his messages. That's how I came to find out about Pastor Paul's mission, about Pastor Paul's work and everything in North Minneapolis, by hearing Pastor Paul on the radio. And you'll hear him refer to the radio audience quite a bit, because his messages are recorded some 20-some years ago, the ones we're hearing today. But when you listen, and I'd like to hear some comments about this on the blog, make a comment about this. Is it true that Pastor Paul's messages are just timeless? When you're listening to his messages, you're not thinking that it's 25 years ago. So be sure to write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, and you're going to find all that information in the show notes. The month of December, let me run through four messages. Joy is our duty. My garden, his garden. Actually, that one we've already heard. I'm taking these in order, though. So you'll be able to go to online, go to the audio page, and you'll be able to stream that or download it yourself as just a message. My garden, his garden. So we're going to skip that. So let's start over. We're going to go with Joy is our duty. The second one is to know and not to know the tender grape. And so you think you've got a problem. I like that one. Okay, so those are the messages for the month of December. Lots of stuff happening in December with the holidays. Be sure to tune in to the podcast. You're going to get a lot out of it and be blessed. Thank you for joining me. God bless you. Have a great holiday season. And what is the secret of the holidays? The joy of the Lord is your strength. God bless you.
To know and not to know. I think we spend a lot of time getting to know things, don't you? Our whole life is spent doing it, knowing, getting to know, in the know, always wanting to know. Know yourself and know your wife and know your husband. Know your rights. Know your neighbor. It seems like we judge everything on what we know. The Bible says, be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all. Which brings me to Ecclesiastes 6 and 12. For who knoweth what is good for a man in this life? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Now man, at his very, very best, is a man. Is that right? I mean, you can go on and on. He can be no more. David very well asked, what is a man? Well, he's part red clay like Adam. He's made by his maker. And Solomon says in the 10th verse, that which has been named already, and it is known that it is man. Now, it's already been named, and that's the end of it. Man. Whoever has lived, and however wise and good and great they may have been, he has been only a man. Add him up. Add up his personality, smart or not so smart. Even the virtues of his spirit, and what is he after all? He's a man. That's all you can say about it. I mean, he could be the greatest person in the world. The President of the United States. The king of this country or the king of that country or whatever. And when it's all said and done, he's just a man. Isn't that right? Now we can get somebody up here and say, now just look at all the attributes of this person. He does this, he does that, he does this, he does that. That's a wonderful, and this and that. And you get all done, what's the sum total of what you said? This is a man. Now that's all you can say about a man, that he is a man. I'm sorry. The Bible says the man is but a vapor which appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Oh, that's so sad because we just build up such a glorious atmosphere around ourselves and poof! Because you know, he is as thin and he is as airy and unsubstantial. And it can be cut off any time. You can stop breathing right now. And all they can say is, when you're gone, is, he died. Seems like we should be able to add something. I mean, after I go, and after you go, they're going to say, well, what happened to us? Well, he died. He was a man, and he died. Does that sound kind of sad? Some people are praying to go. And he comes and he goes, and such a little while that he's here, it scarcely can be said that he is to be. There's a young man sitting down here, I mean. He's just a man. He's a little man. Behind you, Corey. And that's all we can say about him, is that he's a little man and he breathes in and out. That someday They're going to say about him, he died. And he was a man. You read all the stories and all the history books about all the great things done, and it all boils down to one thing. He was a man. George Washington was a man. They make a big to-do about chopping down a cherry tree. That right? He's still a man. That right? And Eisenhower and all of our presidents. It all ends up that they were a man, and they have a tombstone there that says this so-and-so lived from so-and-so years and he died. I mean, his beginnings and his endings are so close. Now, I'm rounding the corner. I'm going up over the hill. And someone sitting here says, yeah, I got a long ways to go. No, you're catching me. You're right behind me. You know what? You're only a man, too. And I thought when I was real young, I'll never get old. Now me, I'm going to stay young forever. How many thought that? I'm never going to look like that prune face sitting over there. That'll never happen to me. I won't allow it. Well, now you can get plastic surgery, you know, and you can tuck all that skin up behind your ears until you look like a stretched egg, but won't even be able to smile. But the whole end result of it is that you're a man. You can get vain about everything. I used to be so vain about my hair. Man, oh man. I can't be vain about it anymore. Nothing to be vain about. And after all, I'm just a man. Now I'm a bald-headed man. Still, I'm a man. Someday they're going to say he was a man and he died. As man is as light as vanity itself, Solomon urges that it is idle and vain for him to attempt to contend with God. And listen, in the 10th verse he says, neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. I think it's always unwise to contend with one who is mightier than yourself. I was thinking about that one time. I was watching a boxing match, and Ollie was boxing someone, and I thought, well, you know, if a guy got in there and he moved fast enough, he could stay away from him, you know what I mean? He could trouble his kneecaps a little bit with his fists, you know. But then I started to thinking, hey, you don't challenge someone mightier than yourself. That would certainly be folly. Don't we have them kind of dreams? And don't we contend with God? I think it's always unwise when disparity is so great between man and God. When the creature of the hour and the self existent creator, hallelujah, the worm and the inconvincible God, what folly to think that we can battle God. But yet, we're contending with God many times. And I think those that contend with God and we that contend with God are very foolish. Shall the pot strive to break the rod of iron? Or should the wax war against the fire? I believe there is no such thing as us contending with God. There's no way we can. And yet, how often that we do. Even we who are his children begin to contend with God if he chastens us, if he takes away our comforts, if he permits us to be disappointed in our aspirations. Let me know that in your aspirations many times God allows you, causes you, wants you to be defeated in them. Right away we begin to inquire, why is this? Why? Give me one good reason why. Why? Well, you say, I don't do that? Well, yes, you do. Well, Lord, why is my job right now in jeopardy? Give me one good reason why. Or is why, Lord, is all of my perfect little home life and perfect little things, why, Lord, is it, you know, breaking down and so on? I counsel them by the hundreds. We have our own little aspirations, and when we get into a little trouble, we ask God why, and we start to contend with God. And I have also seen it where that question has been carried a little bit too far, way too far. Probably when some esteemed one raises the question, how come? Maybe a loved one is taken away and you pray for healing and the person dies. How come? How many know that many times, don't say it. I'm going to say it. That you pray for someone, and that's what you're commanded to do, pray in faith, and you don't know exactly what happens. And you pray, and you believe God, and a person dies. Now, is there anyone in here who's going to say that doesn't happen? What are we but a man, and when you die, they're going to say about you that you died. See, it's like we think we're going to live forever. And we need leave no room for the will of God because we're not thinking in the realm of time. But yet it's marching on. And we like to stay away from that and we like to put it in the back of our mind that some fine day we're going to die. And we don't want to think about that. We don't want to. No, I'll never get old. I'll never look like that. But pretty soon you start to look at yourself and you're starting to look like that. God, you say, what's happening? How come? And you know, it's funny because you don't feel old. You just look that way. You say, why can't I look the way I feel? Well, it's a good thing some people don't feel the way they look. We'd all be in trouble. But why is this, Lord? And we start to contend with God, and we start to contend with the maker of all the universe. We start to set up a whole lot of guidelines and we say, how come? We contend with God and we command. That's a new one. We command God. Now, I believe in petitioning the Lord and praying and asking. As far as me commanding, I'm not going to do that. I mean, there's a whole lot of things I don't know. Be careful when you know something, know nothing at all. Do you ever have your little kid run up to you and they know everything? And you get all done, they say, how come? Well, you're not going to give them all the ramifications of why they shouldn't do some particular dangerous thing. Are you? Honey, sit down now. Honey, look up here now. You're not going to get into telling them every little thing on why and how come. And it's the same way with God. He's not going to just define everything for you because you wouldn't understand it anyway. And when he got all done explaining, you'd say, well, how come and why? That's why you say, because. And then the kid says, because why? Oh, my. Ooh, but maybe someone's left you and departed to the other side. Whew, and now you will not forgive God. And every anniversary, you celebrate your hate of God and your unforgiveness. Oh, this was the day this and this and this happened. The day of infamy. You go on and on. There's different days that we have. We put them in our minds. And, you know, myself, I connect them with songs. And if some particularly hard time in my life, and I hear that song, I can tell you exactly where I was at that time. I can tell you exactly how I was feeling at that time. Because there is a spirit of unforgiveness there, and that has a long memory. One of the songs I remember is Slow Boat to China. And Good Night, Irene. John and Marcia. All those old things, but that's what it comes to when you have that unforgiveness, and I can tell you exactly the people that were, ooh, it was festering about. But I don't know, I probably told them to take a slow boat to China, or they told me, I don't remember. Or 16 tons, or something like that, but that's how I remember. And I know it's because of unforgiveness. And you know, that kind of rebellious spirit creates 10 times more than the affliction itself did, because you live with it. Night and day and day and night, you live with it. Seems like it always is surrounding your thoughts. Then the rod falls, I believe, even more heavily than it otherwise would have done. Because we're contending with God. That's just like if you're going to get a, they used to call it years ago, a whooping. And then you start to strain against the switch, you got it all the worse. How many are hearing this? Why? Because you contended. Now you are a contender, put them up. You know. And you start to contend with Mom. Oh, so that's the way you want it, huh? Woo! Freight train, roll on by. Say amen. And you start to contend when you're in the Army. Oh, and you're on KP, and oh, man. But getting back, and that soul dashing itself against the pricks, wounds itself against the goad, far more, I believe, than it was originally intended to be wounded. A lot of times we help in our wounding. Because we kick against all suffering. And you're going to wound yourself. Say amen. And I've seen it time after time where people cannot receive a message when they're wounded. And so they kick against the message and they become more wounded than they were. And they walk out mad and steaming, oh, just talking directly to me. And I, oh, you know, giving me the heat from the pulpit area, and you don't even know them. And they start to contend with God against the Word, and they make it 10 times as bad as it would have been if they would have received it and the medicine to their wound, and they would have been healed, the oil of the Holy Ghost. But no, people, we cannot contend with our Maker. Are we wiser than He is? Do we understand providence better than He does? Now, don't use that word providence. Hey, when something looks very strange to you in the move of God, it's a providence. God's got control. Now, let's understand that. He's not going to give you all the Y24s. Can we sit in judgment upon God? Many times we do. Lord, I don't understand why you worked it out this way. Why didn't you consult me before you got into this? Well, in so many words, that's what we think. Do we dare think of arranging a court case for the Almighty God? But yet we do. Order in the court. Come forward. I think we should agree with Job and shut up. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that simple? But we like to ask one final question. Why? Why? How come? Give me one good reason. I gave and I took away. Quiet, silence, order. And you know, somewhere down the line, God will reveal the plan and purpose of what's happened in your life, or you just be miserable trying to figure it out and wishing hurt upon someone else. Lord, cause fire to fall! We don't exactly say that, but we say, now, this person or these people have gone against the will of God, and he might just strike them dead. It could happen. You don't want it to, of course. No. Huh? Oh, heavens, no. And so we think that we are wiser than he is. And we think that we understand his providence. We don't understand anything. I think we should think about God right. And here's the way you think about God right. Say, the Lord's will be done. Now, doesn't that kill all the arguing? Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. Doesn't that kill all the arguing? If you say so. Now see, we like to hedge a little bit, and we like to give God a Bible lesson. According to your word. Proverbs. Oh, no, I won't read it. Kill you. But we like to, out of context, give God a Bible lesson. And he's working along the line. And that's like when you talk to your kids. And in one circumstance, it was all right to do this thing. And then they say, but remember you said back in 1974? Different situation, different time, different whole, totally different thing. Has nothing related whatsoever. Only thing it relates to is the same people are involved. Disobedient, rebellious folks. The same. And so we try to give God a Bible lesson and say, according to your word, we forget all about the, God's divine plan and purpose and what he wants to do in this particular situation, and we butt in. Well, I know what God's will is. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What you saw in a move down here yesterday isn't going to be the same thing you're going to see here today. Because there's a whole lot of people involved in this move, and there's a whole lot of things that have to be done, and there's a whole lot of a clearing away of the stubble, straw, and hay, and there's a whole lot of things that got to be done, and fire's got to fall, and there's a lot. And there isn't time to go ahead and give you the whole thing. You wouldn't understand it, and you'd stand there and try to get into the plan. You try to be the planner for God. Now, am I making myself clear? I hope so. God, I hope so. Because we all think that we are so knowledgeable and we're in the know that we can contend with God according to. Wisdom shouts in the streets, I open up to. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gate in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? Whew. And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. But behold, I will pour my spirit upon you, and I will make my words known to you. I will make my words known to you. Wow. But should we receive good at the hand of God and not evil? Well, you know, God created them both. Good and evil. Getting kind of quiet in here. Don't you think God is in charge of evil? He created all things. Well, I don't know about that. No, you don't know about it, and you don't want to know about it. Now, all I need to know is that God created them both, and he works them all to his own purpose. All things are working together for good for them that love the Lord. And I believe what we often lack is the complete spirit of submission. We don't want to completely submit to the Lord. And if our childhood that comes after regeneration and the adoption into God's family does not teach us submission, I believe common sense ought to teach it to us. Now, can we possibly carry on a successful contention against God? One who is so great and one who is so good and one who is so wise and so infinitely glorious as God. Can we? And yet, we do. But let me speak today to the contenders and the would-be contenders. That's like a lot of ships. See, they're all in dry dock up here, and they're all sitting with the 2x4s and whatever is all jammed up against them, see? These great, huge wooden vessels. And they cannot understand why they've heard that there were ships out there that were sailing about with leaks. And I cannot understand why any of those ships could ever leak. And they bang the bottle against them, and ooh, ooh, off they go. And then after they get out into the sea, they wonder how any of them could ever stay afloat. Are you hearing this? Now, I think it's the same with the young and the very inexperienced Christians. They may feel qualified at times to judge the older ones, but they have never tasted high waves. They have never been in the middle of a real great storm, but yet they feel competent to judge the older ones for all their failures and all of their deficiencies, and they haven't been in the battle yet. So you wait, you listening on the radio or to this tape, until your storm comes. You learn from Solomon's words and never set yourselves up in opposition against the Lord and compare yourselves with him. But oh, how we love to contend with God at times. So first, let's look at this. Our life, which we do know, and here it is. Who knoweth what is good for a man in this life all the days of his life, which he spendeth as a shadow. Think about that. Spendeth as a shadow. Well, we do know something about our present life, don't we? And what we do know about it should humble us in the very presence of God. And I believe, firstly, what we do know about ourselves in this life is that it is very short. How many know it's a very short life? Short. And again, I had to go back to when I was looking in the mirror, you know. No, it'll never happen to me. Notice Solomon here says nothing about the years of our life. He only counts it as days. And I wondered about that. The Lord spoke to me and he says, he sees our earthly existence as so short a duration, and so short a duration that if he were to reckon it by years, he could scarcely even mention it. But if he only counts it by days, he may use the word all. All the years aren't much, but all the days add up a little bit. All the days of his, what? Vain life. Now listen, we only live from one day to the next, and hardly that. Do you play a whole football game and one, you know, one pass or one down or whatever? No, it's a little bit at a time. Let me tell you, the years go pretty fast, don't they? Well, don't feel bad for me. I got a lot of days left. And a whole lot of minutes and gobs of seconds. But the point is, they're all passing and time is marching on, and we waste time by contending with God. And we get old contending with God. You want to get old before your time? Contend with God. I think it's all right to have a beer. I think it's all right to have a little drugs. Well, didn't God make weed? Well, that's the way that we contend with God. I think it's all right. I think it's perfectly all right. Lord, you show me where it's wrong. He isn't even going to answer that. You know it's wrong. All the days of his vain life. Well, doesn't our master teach us to pray for daily bread? Lord, I want 1986's rations. Well, now you're in trouble. You got to find a place to store it all. Got to worry about thieves coming in and stealing somewhat. No, God doesn't want to give you a whole lot of worries. He's only going to give you one day at a time, sweet Jesus, one day at a time. Give me only one day. So all I want is that one day at a time, and I have a hard time not contending with you about that one day. And even in one day, we can't be sure of what would happen. Did you ever think in the morning some catastrophe happens, say, well, if I only wouldn't have turned around and went back into the house, I would have been 30 seconds ahead of that accident. And so we start to contend with God. Why did you make me go back in? Why did you remind me to go back in the house? And so we're fighting with God, aren't we? And so at very best, we can only count our lives by days. This is Sunday. And then we have Monday. And then we have Tuesday. And then we have Wednesday. And then we have Thursday. And Friday. And Saturday. And Sunday. And it's only one day at a time. And so many times we start to contend with God. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? I could be cut off. Oh, you see it all the time. People on welfare or something's going, they're cutting our food stamps. How come? And you got all this food on the table. Just worry about stuffing your face with that. God will cause more to come. Probably you don't need as much. Blessing in disguise. And we're always contending with God all the time. How many are hearing this today? But Lord, how come? So often we're tempted to think this, that we shall live to a ripe old age. Did you ever think about, well, how long did your dad live? Oh, he lived to be 100 years old. And my mother, we come from a line of long livers. And we're tempted to think that. Oh, yes, my uncle. Now, he lived to be 103. Yeah, he might have. Maybe he was praying for death since the time he was 83. You know what I mean? But it wasn't the will of God for him to go until he was 103, and he had a few more days to go. Say amen, somebody. See, if we would live as long as Methuselah, which we can't, it would soon be over. I've heard people say, oh, just give me 10 more years. And then those 10 years go, and they say, where'd they go? Can I have another 10? Would you believe 5? How about 1? No. When God gets ready to take you, folks, you are gone. Now, don't get melancholy on me. But when we come to the very end of it, we should say with old Jacob, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Hey, the older a man grows, the shorter his life seems to be. Does that sound funny? The older a man grows, the shorter his life seems to be, the span of his life. Well, I see you young people trying to think that one out. See, because you think you've lived a long time. Ooh, if I could only be 21 years old. If I'd only make it 18, I've been waiting. Yeah, well, you'll make it. You'll pass over soon enough, and you'll catch me. And it was so because Jacob was so old and had seen so many days that he called them few and he called them evil. Now, children and youths appear to have lived a long while. And then men seem to have lived a short time. And then older men, even a shorter time. And then the oldest man reckons his days are shortest of all. And we start to sing, where have all the young men gone? Long time they've been gone, oh, ho, 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 ho. Where have the young men gone? And you look at your old photo album, and you see all the guys in there from the army, and you look, here's so-and-so and so-and-so. Where did they go? They died. Isn't there a song like that? When Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. And Johnny came marching home again, and he marched right through his life, and he marched right down into the grave and died there. There in the grave. And contend with God all that you... You say, what a morbid message. I'm just getting you ready. So why contend with God? I mean, the calculations about time are very singular, aren't they? Did you hear what I said? The calculations about time are very singular, and I'll tell you why. Because length seems to turn to shortness. The longer my life, the shorter it seems. And so how can I, with my passing existence, contend with God? I'm marching on. How can I contend with God? I don't know if I'm going to be here the rest of this day. And why fret, and why fuss, and why wonder, and why contend with God when you have a passing existence? Are you hearing this? See, God made it all, didn't he? Our life, besides being very short, is very singularly uncertain. All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow. You might not even make it through this message. That happened one time to me. I was preaching, and a guy dropped dead right during the middle of the message. Might happen tonight. Or before our next meeting, who knows? Now I say this to the radio audience, you sitting here, tape that if this is unpleasant to us, it's because something is wrong within. I mean, a child of God, when he is right with the Father, forgets the uncertainties. And he doesn't try to claim certainties, but he forgets about the uncertainties. And one thing for sure is he's going to go, and so he can't contend with God. He says, God, have your way for today. I'm not going to, you know, go way off into the future, but Lord, have your own way. I will not contend with you, Lord. No, not at all. I believe we should all believe that the changes that God makes are wisely ordained of him, of course, and therefore the uncertainty causes us no distress. Now, in that we're uncertain on what God's going to do, should that cause us distress? God, what are you going to do? What's going to happen in this situation? Lord, take it, Lord. Then we make 14 phone calls. How many know there are uncertainties? But because we believe in an almighty God, in a God that has everything under control, we're not dismayed and we're not upset because we don't know for sure what's going to happen. I don't know when Russia is going to start coming down from the north. I know they're going to come. There's an uncertainty around the world. There's an uncertainty that how much land mass is going to be destroyed when we start to fire bombs back and forth, which the Bible talks about. And there's an uncertainty of when it's going to happen. But I'm not fearful about this uncertainty because God has got it all under control. And our little fear and our little trembling and our little winding our toes up in little hard balls of nervousness isn't going to do any good. Because you know what? God is going to have his own way with you. Now don't worry about somebody else. God is going to have his own way with you. Now don't worry about somebody else. I have to say that because there's a spirit somewhere in the back in this radio. Oh, how about so-and-so? I don't know. Just stay in your own graveyard. That's all this is right here. Don't you know that? Shadow. It's like flitting from one grave tombstone to the next. This is only a shadow of things to come. But when you're born in the Lord, even that shadow has substance because it's going to pass over where there's all light. There'll be no shadows over there. Say amen, somebody. Oh, God. All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow. Now, I think a lot of times we gain for ourselves during this life a lot of things that are very unsatisfying to us. Cars and hats, clothes and piles of shoes and houses and friends and pools and boats and money. Just ask the very rich and ask the very famous. They have it all, but so what? Or ask the learned. They learn all that there is to know. And learning, the Bible says, causes vexation of the spirit. Solomon says that, doesn't he? Studiness is a weariness of flesh. But also there is nothing truly substantial apart from God. The everlasting one who liveth and abideth forever. There's nothing substantial but God is the only one that you can count on. He's the only one that you can anchor your salvation to. He's the only one that you can fully trust in. He's the only one that keeps his promise. He's the only one. So why contend with the only one? You can count on it. Ourselves in a short time will prove this to ourselves. The unsubstantiality of our own lives and worms will be scrambling over our flesh. So if utility and we will decay and rot in the ground. Our only lively hope is the salvation through Jesus Christ. And see, so because our lives are so uncertain, and whose lives at best are so unsubstantial, we should never contend with God. We instead should submit ourselves to Him and learn that in Him we live and move, and the Bible says, and we have our being.